Let's pray again. Father, as we look at specifically at Psalm 8, we need you to bring your word to life in us. We need you to open up our minds so we're actually thinking about your word, and open our hearts to change us and to make us more Christ-like and to actually help us to live in reality of you, your reality. So Lord, we're dependent on you and ask for you to do your work amongst us right now as we look in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. In the last five psalms that we have looked at, Psalm chapter 3 to chapter 7, David has been asking the Lord to rescue him. Now in Psalm chapter 8, there is a transition. There's no asking for rescue, but just amazement of God. Amazement that he would pay attention to people. It has this flow of focus. Verse 1 is God, verse 2 is man, verse 3 is God, verse 4 to 8 is man, and verse 9 is God again. What's taking place here is something that every believer needs to understand and be reminded of. Not only every believer, but every person, but especially us as believers, we need to be reminded and we need to know who God is and who we are standing before God. In this passage, God brings us a corrective of what is valuable, what is great. And there are four things that are pointed out, or I want to point out here. The first is the greatness of God. The second is people compared to the greatness of God and his creation. And the third, God's value of people. And the fourth, the greatness of the incarnation. So the first thing from verses 1 and verse 9, the greatness of God, verses 1 and verse 9 are the same thing, which lets us know what this passage is primarily about. And that is the greatness of God. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. God is the object of celebration and worship and awe. It's like being stunned by how incredible he is, and therefore it needs to be said again. How majestic is your name in all the earth. And this worship and awe is personal. David wrote it very personally. Lord in capitals represents God's name as he gave it to Israel, translated as Yahweh. Israel and David had a personal relationship with God. And Lord with no capitals means master, Lord, king. So what this is saying is, O Yahweh, our master. O Yahweh, our king and our ruler. The majesty, the master, the ruler, the only God is intimate with his creation, not absent and off somewhere, but intimate. O Yahweh, our Lord, O Yahweh. And how majestic and how excellent and great is your name, your reputation, who you are, Lord. It's from Scripture that we get to know who God is. And David knows who God is. That's why he could say how majestic is your name, because he knew who God was that revealed himself to Israel throughout their history and then to David himself. And it's from, for us, it's from Scripture that we get to know who God is, how he has revealed himself to us. And we find that God exists because he is God. He has always existed. He doesn't change because there's nothing needed to change into or in need of change about him. He's complete in himself, lacking nothing. He is dependable and consistent. Nothing keeps him going but himself. He created everything. He cannot be manipulated or forced into anything. He knows everything. And on goes this amazing description of who God is. His glory, his majesty, his excellence is revealed to us in Scripture. And also Scripture lets us know that all of his, a bunch of his glory and majesty and excellence is revealed in his creation as well, the heavens and the earth. Romans 1 verse 20 puts it this way, "For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made." He's made his glory known on the earth and the sky above and everything in between. Everything. Everything. Space. The universe. All the galaxies. The planets. How delicate and precise their movement is and exactly where they are placed and how they have to be there and how big they are displays God's glory. The earth. The beauty. The working together to sustain life, the complexity of our DNA, God's creation is overwhelming. But it doesn't point to itself. It is a reflection of the one who created it, the Creator, God. His majesty, his majestic glory is over the earth and the heavens. It's all over the place. It's all the work of his finger, as verse 3 says. God is absolutely incredible, and we need to understand this, that God is incredible. He is above all, and he is amazing. If we think that he is just, oh, so-so, we're missing it. We're missing out on who he is. We need to understand he is the only one worthy of worship, the only one to be worshiped. How majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. That's the Lord. That can't be said about you or me. The second one, God created people, but in comparison to God and even his creation, we're not that great. People are so tiny and insignificant. In comparison, we tend to compare ourselves to other people, you know, talents, popularity, and possessions. But compare yourself to the universe or some of those massive trees in Cathedral Grove or the mountain range or the ocean or compared to angels. Compare yourself to them and you find out very quickly, we're not that spectacular. God wants us to catch this. I don't think this is wrong thinking here. I think God wants us to catch this because David leads us in this direction with his question, "What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him?" In the arena of creation, we are frail, weak human beings born completely dependent. Start off as helpless babies and infants. The Hebrew word used to and translated into English as man is a word that emphasizes frailty and mortality. The phrase son of man emphasizes how temporary humans exist on earth. So Lord, why be so mindful and caring about human beings? It's not like David wants an answer back from God, but rather he's asking the question out of sheer amazement and excitement of how good God is to people. People are small, frail, weak, but this is the third point, God has placed incredible value on people. God is majestic, and his glory is seen in his incredible, breathtaking, complex creation that has been around for thousands of years while billions of people have just come and gone. Yet God gave weak, frail, temporary human beings super high status and significance by giving us dominion over his creation. That's what verses 6 to 8 talk about. We are lower than those terrific heavenly beings, the angels, but we have been given dominion. We are God's representatives over creation. Genesis 1 verse 28 says, God blessed them, Adam and Eve, and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Humans are to maintain dominion over creation. Not creation have dominion over humans. We are honored by God, crowned with his glory and his honor. We display greatness by God giving us dominion over this incredible, huge, amazing creation. And we haven't been given that dominion because out of all the creatures, we're the best suited. No. People have dominion because people are created in the image of the Creator. We are created in the image of God. That's what Genesis 1 verse 26 tells us. You know, I have some favorite pictures of Dixie that reflect her beauty, that capture her image. Well, people are made in the image of God and reflect his likeness because we are made in his image. We are crowned with glory and honor by God by displaying his greatness in that we are made in God's image. We are the top of God's creation. Only people have been made in the image of God. People are incredibly valuable to God. We are worth so much, not because you are you. I'm not incredibly valuable because, well, Edgar is Edgar. No. Because of God, in whose image you have been made. You are valuable because God made you. You're of value and worth. It comes from the Creator. Your value and worth does not come from something silly like your possessions or your job or your looks or your popularity or your accomplishment. Our value and worth are not found in created things, but in the Creator. God is so glorious. We get glimpses of how breathtaking he is when we look at his creation. And by comparison, people seem so insignificant to all this. All of us, all humanity, are in the same boat. Insignificant compared to God and his creation. Yet all people are valuable because of God. We all are made in his image. We reflect him and therefore are valuable. Whether a president of a country or a factory worker or a drug addict on the street, every person in every ethnic group around the world, every person in every economic group around the world, every person engaging in the most disgusting sin, all valuable because all are made in the image of God and given dominion over creation. Why do we say that abortion, the killing of the unborn is wrong? Because that baby is valuable and made in the image of God. That's why. But also, all of those people that we think that kind of disgust us and gross us out and we don't want to be around, they're people. They're not write-offs. We're not above them because we have nice clothes and we go to work and we pay taxes and we have clean houses and we live in nice communities. We're not valuable because of that. And they're not write-offs because they're homeless tenting in Duncan somewhere, or because they're addicted to drugs, or they're prostituting themselves. They're not, we don't write them off because of those things. Those people are created in the image of God. When we come up with our own value systems, that's what we get. They're write-offs. Get rid of them. But when we look to the Lord and listen to the Lord and what He says about value, it changes everything. We're in the same boat. People made in the image of God. Why be mindful and care about weak, frail, little human beings, Lord? Why does He do that? Because they're mine, made in my image. Hallelujah. Not only does this passage tell us about the greatness of God and His creation and the greatness of people according to God, but we also notice something about the fourth point, the greatness of the incarnation of God the Son. God the Son, the Messiah, came as one of those frail, weak humans. He called Himself the Son of Man, which emphasizes His humanity. So Jesus stooped down so low, lower than angels, verse 5, became a human, went the way of the cross, taking the shame, looking foolish to the watching world, hanging there, a sign of weakness, a sign of defeat, all out of obedience to God the Father in order to save people from their sin, bringing God's victory over sin and death, because people are important to God. God the Son put on full humanity to save humans. God the Son saved people because God loves His image bearers. God, why would you be mindful of people? Why care for people? Why send your Son as fully human and die for people? Because He is restoring His glory on His created people by removing their sin and death and bringing them into a loving father-child relationship, because He loves those He created in His image. And there is even more to the greatness of the incarnation. Hebrews chapter 2 points out that people do not have all of creation in submission. Creation is not under the full dominion of man as God intended. My dog isn't even under my command. Hebrews 2 verse 5 to 9 says, "For it was not to angels that God subjected the world to come, of which we are speaking. It has been testified somewhere, 'What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? You made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet. Now in putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside his control. At present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him. But we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone." So creation is not under the full dominion of man as God intended, yet it is. All creation is subject to the second Adam, the one man, God the Son, Jesus Christ. He came and lived the life we were to live and died the death we were to die because of sin. Everything is under the feet and control of Jesus Christ. What was wrecked by sin is restored by Jesus in Jesus, fully God, fully man, full dominion. And in the new heavens and the new earth, those in Jesus will reign over God's creation with Jesus. But not now, not fully, Now it's only Jesus. So in around 1000 AD, when David wrote this psalm, that man has dominion, he's pointing back to Adam and Eve, but then he's pointing ahead to the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ, and pointing ahead again to the new heaven and the new earth. In the incarnation of God the Son, Jesus Christ, God crowned or restored glory and honor to people by God the Son himself putting on full humanity, going to the cross for people's sin, and as the perfect human having dominion over all creation. God is way more amazing and great than we think and than we actually believe. He's way more amazing than that. People are insignificant specks in his huge, awesome creation, but people are not just another piece of creation. They are crowned with glory and honor by the holy God. All people have value because God crowned them with his greatness, creating them in his image and giving them dominion over creation. Sin has distorted that image and wrecked the dominion, but in Jesus Christ, that image is restored and dominion is in him. And in the life, death, and resurrection, God has displayed his glory, glorious majesty, way more than anywhere else. Church, all people are valuable. You and everyone else. Stop searching for value and worth out there. Stop. Stop trying to stir up value inside yourself. Oh, Edgar, you're good. Just believe it. You're good. You're good. Forget that. Forget that stuff. Forget trying to get it from people. If only I could get the congregation to think that I'm awesome, then I'm worth someone. Forget that. It rests in God, who displayed his greatness by creating you in his image and by sending his Son to die for your sin. Your value and greatness is only found in the majesty of God. That's where it's found. So what do we do now? Well, with that truth, what we do now is we worship God with our whole life and find our worth in God while we are worshiping the Lord. That's what we do. That is what we do. We don't go chasing around for our value and self-worth. We lay it all down and get on our face and worship the Lord and go, "Wow, how majestic is your name above all the earth. Your glory is over the heavens." Who is the Lord? Who are we standing before him? That settles things. That settles things. Let me read this passage one more time and pray. Listen to these words again. Please just listen to them. Let them soak in and stir you up. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Amen. Father, how majestic is your name. Forgive us, Lord, for how little we put into understanding who you are and being amazed by you and treating you as the Holy Creator, the majestic one, the glorious one, the only one worth worshiping. Oh, forgive us, Lord. But thank you. Thank you for sending Jesus to take the punishment we deserve. Thank you for sending Jesus that he lived the life that we were to live. Thank you for restoring us, giving us new life in Christ. Father, may we listen to who you say you are and then hear you say who we are. Father, may we see the emptiness in trying to convince people or use people to prop ourselves up and create some kind of false value and self-worth. Forgive us for that, Lord. Forgive us for using technology to continually try to convince us and others that we are amazing people and that our opinion is gold. Forgive us, Lord, for that futility. Father, may we, in our weakness, be strong, propped up by your strength, propped up by your word, not being battered around by public opinion or opinion of ourselves. May it be put to rest in you. Father, please come and change us. Help us not to just say this stuff with our mouths because it sounds like the right thing to say. Help us not to just nod our heads to this, but please let this be where our worth and our value and our view of ourself comes from. May we lose ourselves in worship of you and there find ourselves. Lord, bless us in that way. Give us freedom in that way. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.